Well, if you would like to look into your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 4, please. That's where we're going to start this morning. Today is Sunday, April the 14th, 2024. We begin this morning with a verse that we're all familiar with. I would think most of us are familiar with this verse, the last verse of chapter 4 in the book of Ephesians. It says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." It's fairly easy to forgive someone for something small and insignificant. But then on the other hand, forgiving someone for a deep hurt can be rather challenging. But regardless, that doesn't change God's word. God says forgive. Doesn't say if it's little, if it's big, just forgive. This morning, we're going to look at one of the greatest acts of forgiveness in the Bible that I know of. And it's not only inspiring, but it ought to encourage us to forgive no matter how much we've been hurt. You know, in Philippians, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And we, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, well then, let's look at his example of forgiveness. Turn to Acts chapter 1. In what they refer to as the church calendar, you know, in December they focus on the birth of Jesus Christ. This time of year we focus on his death and resurrection. So in light of the church calendar, we are in the days in between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension. And as you know, Acts 1 gives the detail about the ascension of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." From the resurrection to the ascension was 40 days. And when Jesus Christ was walking this earth, there were multitudes that came and heard him that we read about in the Gospels. Then there were disciples, disciplined ones, who were more committed and hung around a lot more. And then out of the disciples, Jesus Christ chose 12 to be his apostles. They were with him all the time. Why did he choose 12 apostles and not 15 or 4? We know from the scriptures that Jesus Christ said, "I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has showed me, that's what I do. I don't speak what I want to speak. I speak what he told me to speak." Right? So, it was God's idea to have 12 apostles. And not only that, but the 12 that Jesus Christ chose were the ones that God told him to choose. I think the record's in Luke where he prayed all night long and in the morning he picked 12. So, it was God's idea for him to choose 12, and it was God's idea who to choose. One of those, of course, was Judas, who betrayed him, Judas Iscariot. The Gospels also tell us that Judas was the one that kept the bag. He was the treasurer for the group, took care of the finances. And of course, scriptures also tell us he was a thief. He skimmed off the top, even bought him a piece of property. So when we went through the Gospel of John a couple of weeks ago, we saw that Jesus Christ knew he was going to be betrayed, and he knew who it was. He knew who the traitor was, that it was Judas. And then, of course, the record in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas was the one that pointed him out. "Hail, Master," gave him a kiss. And Jesus said, "You're going to betray me with a kiss? Is that how you're going to do it?" Ooh, that was a pretty heavy time. After being raised from the dead, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was teaching and ministering for some 40 days. And here we are at the day of the ascension. And God's word tells us, in verse 2, He was there with the apostles whom he had chosen. So tradition has it that Judas saw what he did, went, oh, this was the wrong thing, or whatever he thought, brought the 30 pieces of silver back to the chief priest, said, I've betrayed innocent blood, here. And they went, too bad. And then if you keep your finger or marker here and go to Matthew chapter 27, Matthew 27 is the verse that is used for the traditional teaching that Judas went and killed himself that night. Matthew chapter 27. And then we're going to come right back to Acts in a minute. But Matthew 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, so what? What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. There are events in Matthew's gospel that are not recorded sequentially. This verse is focusing on Judas's actions, but not in sequential time. And that is, there's a number of places in the Gospel of Matthew where that comes up. One of those places is when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. The Gospels of Mark and Luke show that in sequential time, but Matthew's Gospel doesn't show it that way. So go back to Acts chapter 1. But that verse there in Matthew, it's like, yeah, Judas went and hanged himself. So we're going back to Acts 1 where it says he was there with the apostles whom he had chosen. How many did he choose? 12, right? You know, there's a record in John's Gospel, I think it's chapter 20, where it says Jesus appeared unto his apostles, but one of them was not there, Thomas. And so, isn't it interesting that if Judas was not here in Acts 1, God could very easily have said, and Judas was not there with them, like he did in John's Gospel when Thomas wasn't there. It says clearly here, though, the apostles whom he had chosen. And then, you know, some people say, what difference does it make? They make a big deal out of it. I mean, what difference if he killed himself the night he betrayed him or 40 days later? Does it change our salvation? I mean, if you believe this or believe that concerning Judas, does it have any effect on your salvation? No, it doesn't. We know what it is to get saved, right? Born again, confess the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart. But if we're sloppy about things that don't pertain to our salvation, how can we be sure we won't be sloppy on things that do pertain to our salvation and other matters? And that's why the accuracy of God's word is always the most important thing, is always the priority. And knowing the details of this, even though it clashes with tradition, knowing the details, if for no other reason, we can see how big and how great Jesus Christ's forgiveness of Judas was. So let's keep reading, shall we? We're in Acts chapter 1. Verse 2, unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them. So watch the pronouns now. Them. Them who? The apostles whom he have chosen. Right? Goes back to the noun that it refers to. Infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. All of a sudden, the pronouns stop when the angel speaks, right? Verse 11 does not say, which also said unto them, why stand ye? Instead, it says, they were addressed as ye men of Galilee. And all 12 apostles were from Galilee except one, Judas. Isn't that amazing? Up until this point, the pronouns of they, them, all those pronouns have been used since verse 1 when it referred to the apostle, or since verse 2, the apostles whom he had chosen. Therefore, sometime between Jesus Christ vanishing out of their sight and the angels appearing, Judas leaves. And we know what he did. He killed himself. But you see, because of that verse in the Gospel of Matthew that we looked at, tradition has it that he just killed himself that night. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're kind of like the Berean believers this morning. Search the scriptures whether those things were so. Well, what does the scripture say about that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse, it's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of what? What? The 12 in his resurrected body. How could Judas kill himself that night he betrayed him and then see him 3 days and three nights later? He was seen of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. He was seen of the 12. Meanwhile, the record in Acts is really clear that the apostles whom he had chosen were there on the day of the ascension. And we learn that Jesus Christ had been around for 40 days after he was resurrected, teaching. Man, there was one meeting where there was over 500 people saw the resurrected Christ. Cool. If we were to continue reading in Acts chapter 1, we would see that it was after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven that they found a replacement for Judas. That's what Acts 1 goes on to talk about, right? If Judas killed himself the night he betrayed Jesus Christ, and it was Jesus Christ who originally picked the 12, why didn't Jesus Christ in 40 days that he had here on earth pick a replacement for Judas? Because Judas was still around. So, what's the point? The point in putting this together, do you see God's great love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness? Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. You and I might have said, what are you doing here, Judas? Get the hell out of my sight, you betrayer. I never want to see you again. You're done. But Jesus Christ didn't do that. He accepted Judas back and forgave him. Remember at the Last Supper that we looked at, and Peter went, I'll die with you tonight. Really? You're going to deny me. Not me. I'll die with you. And then what did Peter do? They said, you were with him, weren't you? I never heard of the man. I don't know him. Damn it, I don't know the man. Denied him. There's one record in the Gospels where when that was going on, it says Jesus turned and looked and saw Peter. And then it says Peter left and went out and wept bitterly. Well, guess what? Peter was there on the day of the ascension. Jesus forgave him, and Judas was there also. Judas was one that was trusted. Jesus loved Judas just as much as he loved the rest of the folks. And so if someone very close to you, someone you spend a lot of time with, someone you trust, was instrumental in having you arrested and sentenced to die, could you forgive them? That's a big one, huh? But you know, the truth of it is that people refuse to forgive for a whole lot less than that. A whole lot less. And in talking about forgiveness for a few minutes, you know, in Matthew 18, Peter said, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Seven? And Jesus said, yeah, seven. Seven times 70. Which, if you do the math, it's 490 times. And I don't think Jesus wanted us to carry a scorecard. Let's see. Oh, gosh, you're up to 15 already, huh? You know, the point was forgive. We just forgive. And Jesus Christ didn't say, well, forgive them only if they're really sorry and promise to never do it again. He just said, forgive. That's how God forgives us, isn't it? And sometimes people are reluctant to forgive. People say things like, they weren't even sorry. Why should I forgive him? And you know what? It's not the first time they pulled this on me. You know, I'm not going to forgive them. They hurt me so much, I could never forgive them. And by the way, she never even apologized to me. Now, I'm supposed to forgive them? Yes, forgive. When you and I forgive someone, it doesn't mean what they did wasn't wrong or hurtful. Forgiving someone doesn't mean that they're getting away with something. God said, forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I always remember Dr. Earle said, it was a great thing that he said, you'll have no trouble forgiving others if you'll just remember what God's forgiven you for. Ooh, that helped. And that's what we read in Ephesians when we started, right? And something else that's really important to remember about forgiveness, when you forgive someone, it is not about them. It is about you. It's not about the person that hurt you. It's about you. It can benefit them by saying, hey, that's okay, I forgive you, that's fine. It can benefit them, but when you really forgive, then you no longer carry the weight of that hurt, the anger, resentment, and especially bitterness. You know, sometimes people say, oh yeah, I forgave him, but they still carry the baggage, right? They carry the anger, the resentment, the bitterness. And when you really forgive someone, you let it go. You carry no more resentment, no more anger, no more bitterness. And, you know, research shows whether you're a Christian or not, bitterness is very harmful for your health. Very harmful. Proverbs 17. We looked at this last week. I mentioned last week we were going to look at forgiveness this morning. And, you know, think about the example of Jesus Christ forgiving Judas. Think of that teaching moment for the other 11. I think maybe one or two of them went, he's still here? What a great example for them as they carried out the gospel and the ministry, right? Proverbs 17:23, we looked at this last week. A merry heart. A glad heart, a cheerful heart. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Did I say 23? No, 22. A merry heart does good like a medicine. You know, I love what God's word says. God's word is true, absolutely true. And then many times you find where in the scientific world, they're like, wow, yeah, it's been there for 2,000 years. A cheerful heart, a merry heart, a glad heart. Look it up sometimes. The benefits of laughter. What it does for the physical body to laugh. It's amazing what they've discovered that laughter does to your internal organs and all kinds of different stuff. Laughter. A merry heart does good like a medicine, But a broken spirit dries the bones. So we talked about that last week. And just as there are great benefits spiritually, mentally, and physically with gratitude, there are also great benefits spiritually, mentally, and physically with being a forgiving person. And just as there are disadvantages to being an ungrateful person, there are disadvantages to carrying that anger, resentment, and not forgiving. And isn't God wonderful, wanting us to be blessed, wanting us to have a blessed life, spiritually, mentally, and physically? God tells us, be thankful and forgive. Just do that. Because he loves us. And you know what? There are times that the other person doesn't even know they hurt you. They don't even know. Or worse, sometimes they don't care. That's not the issue. Forgive. And, you know, a lot of times people carry it around for years. Just carry it for years. Anger, resentment, bitterness. We need to forgive and let it go. That's what God does for us. Look at Psalm 103, back up just a little bit. Psalm 103. This is a beauty, isn't it? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We were talking about that last week. I think we looked at this. Don't forget them all. Can't remember them all, but don't forget them all. Mm-hmm. He forgives all your iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Yes, I like that. Like the older you get, you like that verse more, huh? The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Remember that psalm we read last week? Is the Lord's mercy clean gone forever? No, it endures forever. He will not always chide, verse 9, neither will he keep his anger forever. Look at verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear or reverence him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Wow. God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. So if God doesn't deal with us after our sins, why do we want to deal with other people after their sins? Forgive. Just forgive. Jesus Christ, the only perfect human being who ever lived, who went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed. And there he was, beaten beyond recognition, hanging on the cross, and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I might have said, Father, bring down it, fire from heaven and burn them out. Like the prophet did back in the Old Testament. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What an example as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That great example that we can see in God's word of how he forgave Judas of all people. Two more places. Ephesians 1. So how does this work with holding a grudge? Doesn't really fit, does it? Whatever you want to call it, holding a grudge, or it's forgive people. And God says here in Ephesians 1:7, in whom, because of Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, gave his life, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There's a number of words that you can look up that are translated forgive or forgiveness. This particular one means to letting it go as if it had never been committed. It didn't happen. That takes a little mental work sometimes if you hurt really bad. It's like I said at the beginning, easy if something's kind of insignificant, you know? Someone's accidentally spilled their coffee on you. You know, you wouldn't say, I'm never going to forget this for the rest of my life, you clumsy. No, we would say, hey, it's okay, don't worry about it, it's fine. But bigger things, got to just let it go. And we're going to end where we started, chapter 4, verse 32. You know, a lot of people think that God is keeping score of all the bad things we do. God's keeping score of all the good things we do. It's called being faithful. So if God says forgive, then we just forgive. God says love, we just love. God says be thankful, we just be thankful. Because in the end, what matters most is faithfulness to God's word. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Don't hold on to it. Forgive. And if your heart is still hurt, then ask God to heal your heart. But forgive first and ask God to heal your heart, and He will. Father, thank you for the great wisdom in your word that helps us to live lives that are blessed because you want the best for us. You want our lives to be blessed and full of joy. Thank you, Father, for all that you have forgiven us for. We certainly can't remember all the benefits and blessings you've given us, and we certainly can't remember all the times you've forgiven us. May we be followers of our Lord Jesus Christ and His great example and just forgive people. And move on. Let it go, move on, and trust you for all that we need. And I pray, Father, for everyone here in this room, for those that are on the hookup. I pray, Father, that we can have a week of loving you, trusting you, and doing our best to walk as followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name I pray. Amen. Amen.